PR Town Reno podcast with KWNK LP 97.7 FM in Reno, Nevada. This summer, we will be running some audio archive interviews from this year by our music reporter Jaden Urban with up-and-coming local musicians. On this episode, we have Jordan Gibson, who's had many trials and tribulations on his own journey. I'm Nico Columbans, the coordinator of Our Town Reno, which includes this podcast. We're recording from makeshift studios right now as our studios at the Reynolds School of Journalism are undergoing a makeover. First, a word from our sponsor and then back to this week's episode with Jordan Gibson and music reporter Jaden Urban.
Welcome.
Hello.
We are the Reynolds Media Lab.
Media Lab.
Podcasts.
Client services.
Special projects.
Documentaries.
We are a production center at the Reynolds School of Journalism.
The Reynolds Media Lab.
Media Lab.
Media Lab.
Hello, everybody. My name is Jaden Urban, a reporter from Our Town Reno. Here today with me in studio, I have Jordan Gibson, who is one of my best friends and is one of the artists who I help manage over at Shift the Wave. So, Mr. Gibson, tell the people a little bit about yourself.
What's up, guys? I am an artist out of Reno, Nevada. I've been making music for about 5 years. I just met Jaden last year, and he's already one of my best friends, so... I'm surrounded by a lovely group of people that support me in every way. So, I work at a dispensary and I'm looking to move to Colorado soon. So, got some big things coming up for myself.
Talk about your experience here growing up in Reno, Nevada.
I really enjoyed growing up in Reno because I played football in all sports, basketball, I wrestled, I played baseball. And my dad was a commissioner of SYFL, which is the youth football league out here. So my dad knew everybody from all around, from Fallon to Carson to from all around. So I knew a bunch of kids, and it got the rivalries between the kids got better growing up into high school because we knew each other and we wanted to beat each other. But, you know, then you graduate and I went on to play college football and I come back and, you know, it's like everybody's all friendly. Like the high school stuff is all in the past. You know, the rivalries are done and everybody just wants to have a good time. So
talk about your transition from college football into music.
Yeah. So one day I was in my dorm room and in Southern California, and one of my roommates was like, "Hey, like, you want to hop on this track?" And I was like, "I mean, I've freestyled before, but I've never, you know, hopped on the track. I might as well try it." So I tried it, and the song that we had, it blew up, got 14,000 views. So I was like, dang, like, this is really fun. And I just started making more and more. And the more I got into music, the less football became my passion. So I decided to quit football, move back to Reno, and just start doing music.
So you start music, and... you go through all these, you know, like, obviously you're new, you know, so you're starting off in unfamiliar territory, you could say. So what is kind of like the thing that music does for you? Like, what's that feeling that it gives you to continue to keep doing it?
It's like scoring a touchdown, you know, when you make a good song or when you're performing on stage. It's that ultimate feeling that gives you satisfaction. Like, you worked hard on the song and you know your talents. Other people are enjoying it. Just like NFL players, you know, people pay to watch them play. You know, some people pay to come see me perform and all my friends. So being on stage and making good songs, you know, it's just, it gives me a reason to keep going, basically. So
when you say a reason to keep going, I, as being one of your best friends, know about your mental health struggles. I know all the stuff that you go through. So maybe could you highlight to these people, maybe not highlight, that's a bad word to use, but explain to these people, like, what it is exactly that you go through?
Yeah, so basically, I have bipolar schizoaffective OCD. So what that means, OCD is, it's a bunch of unwanted intrusive thoughts that I have every day, and it repeats on my head most of the time, and it's hard to get out of my head. So that's the OCD part. The schizoaffective part is not something I'm really comfortable talking about, but just know that it affects me every day, every second. And the bipolar, you know, most people know what bipolar means, is my mood can change 1 second and to the next second. I can be happy, I can be pissed, I can be scared, I can be sad. So, yeah, that's just a little bit what I go through every day.
When would you say that you first started noticing these signs of, you know, when you noticed these issues?
My senior year of high school, I had depression and anxiety. I'd have anxiety attacks in class. There would be times where I couldn't get out of bed. And there were times like that, but it was nothing to what I have now. So summer 2019, 2 weeks after my birthday. My birthday is July 23rd. So 2 weeks, summer 2019 after that. I went to Vegas and I came back from a trip, and then I was working at Pegs, and then that's when everything really hit me.
Like, describe that.
I was working at Pegs, and I was serving people. I was having a good day, kind of. My head was a little weird. I felt a little weird. And then all of a sudden, just a bunch of intrusive thoughts started hitting my head, you know? And they just come at you, and you don't know what to do. And it's like, basically, like, it shoots out of your brain, and you can't control what your brain is saying. So I was really confused because I didn't know what intrusive thoughts were at the time. So I thought I was just, you know, going through something that day. And then I tried to eat. I couldn't eat. I would throw up everything I was eating. I was just having very bad anxiety. I was confused. I was scared. So, yeah.
So, obviously, like, you know, I mean, if you're comfortable sharing this, you have tried to take your life twice. Four times?
Yeah.
Four times? Okay. Would you maybe feel comfortable sharing the story of what happened last summer? Or not last summer, 2 summers ago?
Yeah, so basically what happened was, you know, that day happened at Pegs and I had intrusive thoughts. And I didn't know what was going on. And then I woke up the next day and it kept happening. And it kept happening the day after that. And then eventually I went into psychosis. And what that's like is basically living in another world. Like, it's really hard to explain being psychotic like that, having a psychotic episode. But basically I thought everyone in the world hated me because I was having these thoughts. So I thought everyone wanted me to end my own life. So the first thing I did to try to end my own life, you know, I was in a closet with my best friend. My other best friend, Ryan, was downstairs. My other best friend, Trevor, was on a trip. And I FaceTimed Trevor, and I told him I loved him. And I told him, you know, thank you for everything you've done for me. I love you. And then I went into the closet, and then I had a cord from my microphone from music. So I thought it was kind of like a symbol that I was going to hang from my cord from music. Like, that was the way it was supposed to go. I did it basically, and I was hanging and I started to see black. And then my friend Ryan comes out of nowhere with a knife, or he screams to his girlfriend, "Let me get a knife." And he cuts me down. So he cuts me down, throws me on the bed. He calls my mom. He calls my dad. You know, all my friends come. DJ, one of my best friends. They call Trevor to let him know what's going on. My girlfriend at the time, they let her know. My uncle come. They take me to a hospital. And at that point, I was just very psychotic. I hadn't slept in 3 days. I had no food in my system, didn't drink no water. I was just very psychotic, and I was laying down in the bed, and I was talking to my family, and they were like, "You just gotta make it through for us, you know, just think about us and think about the good times." And while I'm thinking, they're saying, "Think about the good times," like, in my mind, I'm thinking they want me to die. So I'm like, this is my mission right now. Like, when I get out of this hospital, like, I'm going to do that. And then they told me I had to stay the night. And then I was like, oh, here we go. And I was really freaked out. And I was freaking out the whole night. Stayed up another day, the whole night in the hospital. Didn't go to sleep. Woke up even more psychotic. I was in the psychiatric unit where all the psychiatric patients were. And somehow I was in a room, and I found a pen, and it was, like, no hesitation. Like, I looked at the pen 1 second, and I grabbed the pen, and I just started stabbing myself in the neck probably about 6 or 7 times until someone tackled me. And I just remember seeing blood and blood on my hands, and then I just remember a bunch of people grabbing me. I didn't know. They put me in a bed, and I didn't know if I was fading away or dying. I didn't know what was really going on, but they put me to sleep, basically. And then they put a tube down my throat so I can breathe. And I was unconscious for 3 days, so I probably needed that sleep. Put me on a bunch of drugs, you know, what's it called? Fentanyl. A bunch of drugs so I can stay asleep. And, you know, I woke up still psychotic. I remember my grandma was right next to me, and she said hi, and I was just really confused. And I got up, and they were letting me walk, and then I ran towards a window, and I tried to jump out of the window, but I just smacked against the window. My head bounced off the glass. The glass was too strong. And then they put me unconscious again after that for like another day. And then I woke up. I was pretty scared and psychotic for a while, probably like another day. And then, you know, my aunt started helping me come to realize like that everything's like okay. Like, she was basically helping me come out of my psychotic break. And she was just saying little things to me, because my aunt, she deals with a lot of disorders as well, you know, so she understands. So she was just saying little things to me, and it really helped me. And I came out of that, and they put me in after I was getting a little bit better. And then they put me in this little tiny room at St. Mary's Hospital. They put me in this little tiny room by myself, my own little psychiatric place where I was by myself. There was probably 4 people watching me at all times. They had to watch me take a shower. They watched me color. I played card games with them. Just a bunch of stuff until they felt like I was ready to leave the hospital, and then I did. So then, you know, I get out of the hospital, and then the next year was just torture of intrusive thoughts and pain and suffering and depression, not being able to leave bed, going job to job because I didn't want to work because I was too scared to go outside, you know, hurting my family members because I'm dealing with this pain and I know I'm a pain to deal with. And then it just all caught up to me again. So I was addicted to these pills I was prescribed to, which is Ativan, basically like a brother to Xanax. And I was addicted to them. And one day I just took about 12 of them. They're only 1 milligrams, but I took about 12 of them. And then I drank probably like 5 Trulies. And I just decided to get in my car and go for a drive. And I went to my friend's house, and then I went back. It was only 5 minutes away, but I drove back to my house completely unconscious. Like, I don't even know how I made it alive. I popped my tire. I'm so thankful I didn't hurt anybody. It was really stupid of me, you know, but I was just in pain, and I didn't really know what else to do. So, I thought I was gonna die that day because I took so many pills. And I thought mixing it with the alcohol, I would just pass out. But my girlfriend at the time, I was sending her text messages, a bunch of gibberish, and she got really scared, so she came to my house, and she saw that I was pretty messed up, and, you know, she called my mom and dad, and she rushed me to the hospital, and I stayed in the hospital for a night. They had to pump, they didn't have to pump my stomach. They said I was going to be okay. And then I went to the psych ward after that.
Do you want to keep up on what's happening in the local art community? Double Scoop always has the scoop on that. Want to know which exhibitions, parties, and other art events are happening this weekend? Follow us on Instagram at Double Scoop Nevada and listen to KWNK 97.7 FM for our Short Scoop Art Events Roundup. If you're an artist and you're looking for places to show your work, we have lots of opportunities listed right now. To find them, visit doublescoop.art/events and filter for Call for Artists. If you'd like to follow all of our art news and meet local artists, you can sign up for our email lists at doublescoop.art.
Do you like podcasts? Well, we have a podcast from you. This is Sean from Up in the Mix.
This is Della Foto. Do you like to get into random wormholes of conversation?
Do you like to learn about the culture from sneakers to hip-hop music to basketball?
Then we have a podcast just for you. We have one called Up in the Mix.
It is available on all streaming platforms from Spotify to Apple. Check us out, upinthemix.live, on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook.
Salud!
So with me asking you to share this story, it's not me wanting you to like have to relive and like deal, you know, relive those horrors, you know, because I think your story is important. And I think oftentimes with mental health, even though it's more like talked about today, I still think a lot of people feel alone. Mm-hmm. So I think with you being brave enough to share your story is incredible. And I think a lot of people can take a lot from your experiences. So I guess now let's get a little bit more on a positive note, because I've seen the growth in you just in the, you know, year that I have known you. So maybe talk about how you've, you know, how did you get out of that? How did you, you know, become the person who I'm sitting across from right now?
So I spent a week in the psych ward. I get out of the psych ward. I'm still doing pretty bad. But my friends, they want to move into a house. I'm living at my mom's house at the time. My friends are like, Jordan, like, come move in this house with us, you know. It's going to be good. Like, it'll get you better. So I move into a house with my friends. That house really helps me a lot, just moving in with my friends. I got on the right medications. I found the right psychiatrist who truly knew what I was going through. Because I have had a lot of psychiatrists, and a lot of them were confused on what I was going through and thought I was like a little crazy. And when I found the right psychiatrist that told me that many people go through what I go through, I was really relieved. So he got me on the right medication. So I think that was the first step. I moved into the house. I was working at Concrete at the time, which I was very miserable doing. It really killed me. So my best friend Trevor, he got me a new job at the dispensary where I package marijuana, and I, you know, that really helped me too with my social skills, because I wasn't really going out much. I wasn't talking to too many people. So when I went to the dispensary, I had to talk to a bunch of people, and it just got my social skills back up to the way I used to be. And you know, I started going out more with my friends, and then I met Jaden, and Jaden has helped me a lot, you know. Shout out to Jaden, because he pushed me to steps, you know, introducing me to his friends. And I met his friends, and we all get along very well. And I just want to shout out to my ex-girlfriend, Haley, you know. She was there every step of the way. So, you know, out of anybody, I appreciate her and my mom the most. So, Yeah, and then the music, man, I just kept making music through all of it. There's music when I was really down, really sad. You can tell through the music I was making I was down. There's when I started to get high, like on life, and I started to get better. There is music, you can tell in that music that I was doing good. So, yeah, I just started to get out more, and the medication, and just it's a combination of it all, the house. So, yeah.
Maybe talk more about the music aspect, because you talk a lot about your mental health struggles in your music. Like, how has that specifically, like, really helped you come out of your slump that you were in?
Yeah, I tell my story through my music. I've been to a couple psych wards, been to around like 3 psych wards, so I have a song called Psych Ward Stories. It just lets me get my emotions out and tell my story, you know, so I don't have to hold it in and hold in all these thoughts all the time. And just the music makes me express myself and make me feel less crazy, knowing I can put art into this or something back into the world. You know, maybe one day people will listen to down the road when I'm long gone, and they'll still feel it, and they'll be like, wow, like, this really resonates with me, and I'm going through the same thing. And there was people just like that, even people who make great art. So the music, it's, I don't think I would be here without the music, you know.
Before we end this interview here, we have to talk about that moment at the concert that we had in December. You performed Psych Ward Stories in front of over 100 people. Mm-hmm. Tell them what that experience was like.
Yeah, man, it was very humbling, you know, because then I've performed a lot, you know, but I've never felt a type of emotion like that while performing. I was holding back tears. I know people were listening to the story. My friends obviously knew what I went through, and I had my friends in their feels, just sharing my story to so many people. It was hard for me to hold back the tears and the emotions, but I'm so happy I did it, and I know I'm gonna probably perform that song again to get my story out. So if you haven't heard the song, it's Psych Ward Stories by Jay Gipp. It's on Apple, Spotify, SoundCloud. Go ahead and look it up, and just know you're not alone in any of this. You know, people struggle every day. Just a lot of people don't, it's not like they're scared to talk about it, it's just they feel like they don't want to be a burden and talk about it, or, you know, stuff like that, man. So just know you're not alone.
With that is Jordan Gibson, everyone. Thank you for sharing your story. I know that this is going to resonate with a lot of people. And is there anything that you would like to end this off with?
Like I said, just know that you're not alone. Shout out to all my friends. Shout out to my mom. I hope you can hear this. Shout out to Jaden, because he's amazing. And to this radio station, like, thank you for letting me share my story. You know, I hope it's not too graphic, and I hope it's appealing to the public ear. We're doing it big. Thank you, guys.
Thank you for listening to this Our Town Reno podcast episode. Here we have stories about gentrification, life on the streets, the affordable housing crisis. Find us on Facebook at Our Town Reno, at ourtownreno.com, and on Instagram at Biggest Little Streets. Check back in for next week's episode or delve into our archives, and remember, help each other out.